Continue our reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 8, Text Number 6. Chapter entitled Dhruva Maharaj Leaves Home. Athata kiryate svamsam. Athata kriyate svamsam. Punya krite kurudvaha. Punya kirte kurudvaha. Swayam bhuvasyapi manor. Swayam bhuvasyapi manor. Harir amsam sa janmaja. Hariram samsa janmaja. Atha. Now. Atha. Hereafter. Kirtaye. I shall describe. Vamsa. O best of Kurus. Swayambhuvasya. Of Swayambhuva, api, even, mano, of the manu, hare, of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, amsa, plenary extension, amsa, part of, janmaja. Maitreya continued, O best of the Kuru dynasty, I shall now describe before you the descendants of Swayambhuva Manu, who was born of the part of the plenary expansion of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Please repeat the translation. Maitreya continued. O best of the Kuru dynasty, I shall now describe before you the descendant of Swayambhuva Manu, who was born of the part of the plenary expansion of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Purport. Lord Brahma is a powerful expansion of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Although Brahma is a jiva tattva, he is empowered by the Lord, living beings, to act as Brahma, the Supreme Lord Himself appears as Brahma. Brahma is a plenary expansion of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And the Swayambhuva Manu was the direct son of Brahma. The great sage Maitreya is now going to explain about the descendant of this Manu, all of whom are widely celebrated for their pious activities. Before speaking of these pious descendant, Maitreya was already describing the descendant of impious activities, representing the anger, envy, unpalatable speech, quarrel, fear, death. Purposely, therefore, he is next relating the history of life of Dhruva Maharaj, the most pious king within this universe. Om Ajnana Timirantasya Jnananjana Salakaya Chakshurun Militan Mena Tasmai Sri Guruve Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manovishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupakadamayam Dadate Swapadantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Yuta Padakamalam Sri Guru Vaishnavam Sri Rupam Sagadatam Sahagana Raghunatham Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Saitam Sri Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Sri Visakam Vitam Sa. He Krishna Karuna Sindhu He Krishna Karuna Sindhina Mandu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namastute Tapta Kanchani Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavanishwari Vishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye पञ्चाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुवैव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासुदि गौरभक्तवृन्द। हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। अथातः क्रियते वंशं पुण्यकृते कीर्ते कुरुत्वा स्वयंभुवस्यापि मनोर हरे अंसांश जन्मजा। Maitreya, continue. O best of the Kuru dynasty, I shall now describe before you the descendant of Kuru Manu, who was born of the part of the plenary expansion of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So here we beginning to hear the description, the pastimes of Dhruva Maharaj. So this is the conversation taking place between Maitreya and Vidura. Maitreya Muni is speaking and Vidura is listening, and he's also asking the questions. So the descendant of Dhruva Maharaj begins from, in fact, that is for all of us, all the living entities, that the descendant begins from Lord Brahma. So Lord Brahma is the great grandfather of Dhruva Maharaj. So Brahma had many sons. Swayambhu Manu is one of the sons of Lord Brahma. So this description takes place, this whole narration takes place at the beginning of Lord Brahma's day. So there are within one day of Brahma there are 14 Manus become, and the Swayambhu Manu had is the very first one. So in Prabhupada explains in a purport, and he's saying that Lord Brahma is the plenary extension of Lord, so the Krishna. Brahma is a very special position within this universe, that he is the first created being in the universe when the creation takes place, and he is the empowered personality to assist with the to the law of assist with the universal creation. He is also a secondary creator. Lord creates the first. He is the primary creator. He creates all the elements. Everything is provided to Brahma, just like a pottery or pot. All the ingredients are created, like water, clay. Everything is there. The potter, what he does is puts all this together, and makes it into a beautiful pot. So, similarly, Lord Brahma all the ingredients are provided to him by the Lord, and he is the secondary creator. He creates the planets, he creates the jivas, different bodies, different plants, etc. So he is the secondary creator. He is a very powerful being. And so he is also the chief amongst the demigod. He is the head of all the demigods, like Indra, Varuna, Surya, and of course Lord Shiva is a special character. So Lord Shiva is higher than Brahma, but all other demigods, the Lord Brahma is the head of the demigods. And all the living entities, they all come from, the descendant starts from Brahma. So he is the great, great, great grandfather, or the he is the so everything is created by Brahma. All the living entities start to come into this universe through Brahma. And Lord Brahma is also a author of the Vedas. When the creation takes place, Lord imparts the knowledge to Brahma. He is the very first being who receives the knowledge directly from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So he's an author. He's also knower of the Vedas, and he also compiles them. So he's the knower and the compiler of the Vedas, that which was given to him by the Supreme Lord. Lord Brahma is also the head of our sampradaya. There are four sampradayas, that's bona fide Vaishnava sampradayas. So he's one of the head. Our sampradaya begins from Lord Brahma, which we, as in Gaudiya Vaishnavas, our line of the Vaishnava Vaishnavism comes from Lord Brahma. Lord Krishna gives the knowledge to Brahma, then Brahma imparts knowledge through the disciplic succession, Brahma, Narada, Vyasa, and etc. So that's so he is also the head of the our sampradaya. He is the head of the sampradayas. There are four sampradayas, which one comes from Lord Brahma, as I said. The second one is comes from Kumara, four Kumaras that are sons of Lord Brahma. Third one is coming from Lord Shiva, Rudra Sampradaya. Kumara Sampradaya is known as Nimbaka Sampradaya currently. And the fourth one is coming from Lakshmi Devi. These are the four sampradayas. And so Lord Brahma also, Lord Brahma is a very special character. If in Srimad Bhagavatam, practically every canto, there is a description of Lord Brahma. Lord Brahma is coming almost in every canto. First canto he's not there. First, second canto onwards, he's there. He's telling the how the creation takes place. There's a conversation between Narada and Lord Brahma. That's in second canto. Third canto also we hear the he comes. His description is there as a father of Swayambhu Manu. Then he asked them to create. He asked them to. So there is the description of Lord Brahma in the third canto. Fourth canto also we're hearing how he's there in the pastimes of Daksha, we just heard. Fifth canto, he's also there. He's telling Priyavrata Maharaj. He's giving instruction to Priyavrata Maharaj to come and rule. We'll hear in the coming months. Similarly, in the sixth canto also there is description. Seventh canto is there also as the in the description of Prahlad Maharaj. He's also coming there. He's praying, offering prayers to Lord Nrsingadev. Seventh canto, eighth canto is also there. Ninth canto in the pastimes of Bali Maharaj, etc. So in 10th canto, of course, there's a whole pastime. So Lord Brahma is glorified. Lord Brahma is described in practically every canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. So he's a very special personality in a creation. He's the so to be in the Srimad Bhagavatam, it's not an ordinary person. It's not everybody is mentioned. Very special devotees. So Lord Brahma has got a very special place. Lord Brahma also has got a very long lifespan. He lives for, do you know how many years?
For 23 trillion.
Yes, 311 trillion years, our years, that's his lifespan. Yeah, it's a long time. As I was mentioning in the previous class, that we have a better opportunity than Lord Brahma to, you know, in terms of life, how long it takes for us to go back to Godhead, back to Godhead. We have within short span of time, we are able to go back home, back to Godhead. If Brahma wants to go back to Godhead, he has to wait 311 trillion years. Then he can go back to Godhead, if he's a pure devotee. So, within very small span of time, we can go back to Godhead. So Brahma has to wait for 311 trillion years before he can go. So, and Lord Brahma, being such a special, very special personality, being a very powerful personality, what is his prayers? How does he pray to Lord? In the beginning of the creation, when he prayed to Lord Krishna in Brahma Samhita, he prays, Bhasman yathasna sakalesu nideshu teja siyam ki yatyapi yatra tatra Brahma esa jagadanda vidhana karta govindam adhi purusham tamaham bhajami. He compares his position with the Supreme as a gem that draws the power from the sun, and that gem has got a power to illuminate. But the gem is totally dependent on the sun to get the light, and that light is coming. And so he compares himself as like that stone which draws the sun, the energy from the light from the sun. And he signs back. So, this is the humility, how he prays, that even though he's got such a great exalted position, that position is just like a little gem that draws the energy from the Lord. That's the humility of Lord Brahma in the prayers. So, now, coming back to Swayambhu Manu. So Swayambhu Manu is the very first, as I mentioned, is the first Manu that is in the day of Brahma. So now we started to hear, Swayambhu Manu is also a very special personality. We heard in the third canto, in the 22nd chapter, we heard how Swayambhu Manu also was a great exalted devotee of the Lord. in the text number, third canto, chapter 22, text number 33, describes the little quality of one of the quality described in the third canto is this: Emperor Swayambhu Manu enjoyed the life with his wife and subjects, and fulfill the desire without being disturbed by unwanted principles of contrary to the process of religion. Celestial musicians and their wives sang in chorus about the pure reputation of the emperor. Early in the morning, every day, he used to listen to the pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So this is the one of the greatest quality of the Swayambhu Manu, he used to hear the pastimes every day. He had everything in the world. He was the emperor of the world. He had everything in his position. He could enjoy anyhow. But what was his activities? It describes that he used to listen every day the katha of the Lord. And the lifespan of Manu is lifespan is Manu. There are 14 Manus in the day of Brahma. The one Manu lives for 71 cycle of Divya Yugas. Divya Yuga consists of four Yugas: Kali Yuga, Dwapara Yuga, Treta Yuga, and Satya Yuga. It's about 1.7 million years in one cycle. So such a cycle is 71 cycle. That is approximately about 306 million years they live for. This is the lifespan of Manus. Each Manu live for that long. So Swayambhu Manu, all this time, as mentioned, every day he used to hear the Nityam Bhagavata Seva. He used to hear the glories of the Lord. So Swayambhu Manu is also a very special personality. In his lineage, we heard this, the great, the Supreme Personality of Gauri Kapila Dev appeared. Yajna also appeared with the Ruchi and Akuti. And so this now, the Maitreya Muni is now describing the descendant of Manu. The Manu had five children. Does anyone know who they? Swayambhu Manu? Yes. So Swayambhu Manu, someone who had the five children was the Priyavrata Maharaj, Uttanapad, Akuti, Prasuti, and Devahuti. So we already heard the narration of all the daughters. Now he's beginning, the Maitreya Muni is beginning to start the descendants of sons of Swayambhu Manu. So now he is starting to hear the pastimes of Dhruva Maharaj, who is the father. Dhruva Maharaj's father was Uttanapad. So as I was mentioning, there are 14 Manus in the day of Brahma. So our current Manu is Vivaswan. Vaivaswata Manu, sorry. He's the son of the sun god. He's our current Manu. We are in the 27th, almost 27th cycle of this Divya Yuga. And current Manu is Vaivaswata Manu. Is our current Manu. So next Manu is, it's mentioned in the 9th canto that the next Manu will be our Bali Maharaj, who is currently living in the Sutala planet. So that's the Manu. So Manu is also they are the creator of Dharma. Manu, we have a whole the law book or law of how the human mankind. Manu means manusya. We all call manusya because manusya means the human beings. So Manu is the creator of rules and regulation for all of us. So there is a whole dharma sastra called Manu Samhita. Or Manu Smriti, that is created by this created by Manus for us to all follow. There is the how students should live, what's the duty of the students, what is the duty of the teacher, what is the duty of the king, what is the duty of Brahmana, what is the duty of Vaishya, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra. Everything is there, is spelled out in great detail. How everyone should conduct. So this is how in previous ages they used to follow this the laws of Manu. So they are the Manus are the lawmaker. They have given us a dharma, a sastra to follow how we should act in this world. So now, beginning from now onwards, we will hear the narration of Dhruva Maharaj. So as we will hear, I just wanted to bring up some few lessons, what we learned from this narration that's coming up. From the previous four chapters or so from the Daksha, we learned some lessons. There's lessons to be learned for us that how the envy, it destroys the person's characters and the devotional service. So in this chapter also there are many lessons we can learn. There are many things we can learn. That's why it is there in Srimad Bhagavatam. So narration begins of Dhruva Maharaj that Uttanapad had two wives. Was Suniti and Suruchi. They are the two wives of Uttanapad. And each wife had a son. Suniti had a Dhruva Maharaj and Suruchi has Uttam. They are the sons. So narration, it's described that once Dhruva Maharaj Uttam was sitting in the lap of Uttanapad, and Dhruva Maharaj also wanted to come and sit on his lap. But Uttanapad had a partial attachment to, he was more attached to the wife Suruchi, who is the mother of Uttam. So when Dhruva Maharaj wanted to sit on this on his father's lap, Suruti scolded him. Suruchi scolded Dhruva Maharaj, saying, "No, you cannot sit on your father's lap. If you want to sit on your father's lap, you have to take a birth from my womb." It's a bit harsh, isn't it? So this somewhat, there is a partiality. It's there. One of the lessons we is there is the how by being attached to the king. He's the king. King has treat everyone equally. So here the king is being partial because he was attached to, and the Suruchi is described as she was more beautiful, more attractive, and so the king was more attached to her. Whereas Suniti was not as beautiful as Suruchi. So there is a partiality is being there, so it should not be there. Having this partiality or jealousy or envy, then it also leads to a destruction, leads to a not very good result. And another kind of lessons we can also see as even though Suruchi made this statement, okay, if you really want, you have to go and pray to the Supreme Lord to come back to my womb, be born as my through my womb, then you can sit in the. So it was like for a Kshatriya, it was humiliation.
Sorry.
Insult. Yeah. So now this statement, it is leads to for Dhruva Maharaj to go, and he will go to forest, and he will attain Lama. So it is almost like a Bhatma Pradaka Guru of Dhruva Maharaj. So Suruchi has insulted him, but this humiliation or insult, it is Dhruva Maharaj actually gets the darshan, or gets the Lord, he attains the Supreme Lord. So the indirectly, it is the Padmapadasaka Guru, who actually shows that guides a person to a to perform a devotional service. Similarly, we hear in the pastimes of Bilvamangal Thakur. Bilvamangal Thakur was the a Brahmin, but he had this attachment to a Chintamani, who was a prostitute. To the point he was so attached that one day he wanted his father died. And that funeral, he was doing a funeral for his father, but while he was doing funeral, he had so much attachment for this Chintamani prostitute that halfway through the funeral, he left the funeral, and then he wanted to see on the path. It was raining so hard, there was a river. He had to cross the river to go to the Chintamani's place. He crossed the river by clinging onto a corpse or dead body, and we got there, and he had to climb up the wall, holding a rope. A rope. It wasn't rope. It was a snake. So similarly, he reaches there, and when Chintamani sees him, that's the time. He gives a kind of instruction indirectly, saying, if you have that same attachment as you had to me and to the Supreme Lord, you'll be far better off. So she also becomes a Bhatna Pradasaka Guru, who actually just shows them the path, directs them. And from that point onwards, Bilvamangal Thakur actually takes the devotion service very seriously, and then he heads to Vrindavan. So that's the the lesson we also learn from this is the determination. Dhruva Maharaj is just 5 years old. He hears this insult from his stepmother. What is he? So he has this determination, okay, even though I am young and 5 years old, but the Kshatriya spirit is there, a determination. Okay, now I've been humiliated, I've been insulted. So he goes. And another lesson we learn is that Dhruva Maharaj goes to the forest, but there's a Narad Muni comes in the picture. So any spiritual activities we want to perform, we need to have a guru. That's another lesson we learn, because Narad Muni instructs Dhruva Maharaj how to perform, how to do the devotional service. He tried to convince him. He said, "You're just a small boy. Go home. You just go and play." No. Dhruva Maharaj said, "No, I'm determined. I want to." His motive for a performing was a kind of material. What did he want? He wanted the kingdom better than his father, grandfather, and great grandfather, which is Lord Brahma. He wanted the kingdom higher than that. What is it? He just wanted to. It was just the whole thing started just because he wanted to sit in the lap of his father. He was not able to. Now he's got a determination. His mother said, "Okay, if you want to get higher kingdom, then if you want to get better, you have to approach the Supreme Personality God. He's the only one who can fulfill your desire." That instruction got deep in his heart of the Dhruva Maharaj. That's why he goes to the forest. And then where he meets Narad Muni. Narad Muni gives him the whole instruction. How to do the meditation. And he even gives the mantra. You'll find later on it says, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. This is the mantra that Narad Muni gives to Dhruva Maharaj to perform. chant, while he was doing meditation. So this is so the guru is also a very important to progress, to make a spiritual advancement. It's needed. And another lesson from here is, even though we have a material desire, still, who do we approach? We approach the Supreme Personality, Godhead. As in Srimad Bhagavatam, in second canto, Sukhdev Goswami mentions, akama sarva kama uva, moksha kama udaradi tibrena bhakti yogena yajeta purusham param. Akama, you have no desire. Sarva kama, you have all desire, all the material desires. Moksha kama, even if you want a liberation, still you worship the Supreme Lord. So this is the case where Dhruva Maharaj is worshipping the Supreme Lord with the sarva kama, you can call it, with a desire that wanting some material gain. So another thing we also learn in this lesson will come is that how once Dhruva Maharaj has performed the austerity, finally he receives the darshan of the Lord, and with the mercy, the Lord will touch in his head. How eloquently the prayers of Dhruva Maharaj, he will be praying, offering a prayers to the Lord. When there is a mercy of the Lord, then there is a special mercy that comes in. He is able to do, offer his beautiful prayers to the Lord. And ultimately, Lord fulfills the desire of Dhruva Maharaj. Not only he later on he will be ruling as a ruling to this earth for 36,000 years, and after the ruling he will be given a whole planet which is higher, better than Lord Brahma, Dhruva Loka. So he receives, he had a material desire, Lord has fulfilled that desire also. So that planet is eternal. When the destruction takes place at the end of the Brahma's day, that planet is not destroyed. The Dhruva Maharaj still lives. So this is the lessons of Dhruva Maharaj in this pastime that we're coming to hear. It's a very beautiful narration. We'll be coming and hearing from the different speakers, different wonderful how it is this great chapter in those pastimes is coming. We'll be able to hear. So, Bhagavatam is full of this great narration. This is for our own purifications. So we will be hearing. So I'll probably end here, stop here. And if there's anybody has any questions, comment or corrections. Okay, Krishna.
In Srimad Bhagavatam, it is mentioned that we can understand Srila Prabhupada's books only by a pure devotee. Then if we do distribution and people lead by themselves, how do we expect them to come into Krishna consciousness?
So the question is, the in Srila Prabhupada's books it is mentioned that in order to understand the Prabhupada's books, some teacher or guru has to explain, they will know better if they hear from. But when we distribute books in the street, these people in general, how do they understand these books? Correct? Is that a question? So, there's a graduation. There's a gradual process. Once, when they read the book, they will understand something. There's books. They will begin. It's like beginning to understand a small how the spiritual knowledge is. And as they read further, and they will understand more and more, but they will have also the opportunity, they will also, if they are serious enough, they will also contact, they will come to the temple, and they will come to contact the devotees, and then they will start making further and further. So when they receive a book in the street, it's the beginning. They will read, they will understand, and when they have further, they are more serious, and they want to understand more, they will also contact, go to the temple, or they will contact the devotees, and then that's how they will start progressing. So this is how. Yes. So the question is, Brahma is the head of the demigods, and why Indra is known as the king of the demigods, correct? Yes? Brahma is the chief of all the demigods, yeah? And the Indra is the king of heaven. It's the planetary system in the Isapatana. He's the king of the heavenly world. But Lord Brahma is he's in charge of the whole universe. So that's the difference. So Brahma is higher than Lord Indra. Even though Indra is known as king of heaven, he's in charge of specific heavenly planets. Yeah? But Lord Brahma is in charge of the whole universe. So all the planets, there are 14 planetary system. Indra is only king of the heaven. Yes.
Like, we were speaking before about the Mana Samhita, which speaks about Garna. Mm-hmm. So is it for devotees important to know about Mana Samhita and read Mana Samhita?
The Mana Samhita primarily deals with what are the duties of, for example, a duty of a wife, duty of a woman, duty of a king, duty of a... It's like a law book of the country, a law book of the nation or something. So it is good to know. It is, but it's quite big. It's a lot of knowledge. I'm not sure in terms of how big it is, but it's fairly lengthy. It is always good to know. But it primarily deals with the bodily, and it's in the realm of it doesn't have the devotional service aspect of it. It's a law book. It has all the religious principles as well, but it's not, there's no pure devotional services in there. So it's good to know, but Srimad Bhagavatam is. It's a lot superior, which is the dealing with the devotional service, which deals with get out of this cycle. The Manu Samhita will deal with the how to live in this world perfectly, and this was better, following all the rules and regulations, and then Bhagavatam will take us out of this material world. The difference. Manus? Our current Indra, his name is Purandar. Purandar. I'll read you I've got that information, that says 14 men, the name of the 14 Manus and the Indras of that each Manu. So Swayambhuva Manu, the Indra of the Swayambhuva Manu is Yajna. The Lord Personality got it direct. He himself came and became Indra in that particular Manvantara. Manvantara is a period of Manu that lives. So in that period, Swayambhava Manu, in that Manvantara, Yajna came as Indra. Lord himself became Indra because there was no qualified person to become Indra. Says the first Indra is Yajna. The second Manu is Surochisa. Manu is the second Manu after Swayambhu Manu. So the Indra of that Manu is Vipaschita. Third Manu is Uttam Manu. And the Indra of that Manu is Sushanti. Is the Indra. That's the name of the in that particular Indra, that Manvantara. Fourth Manu is the Tamasa Manu. The Indra of that Manu is Sivi Maharaj. That Sivi Maharaj we hear from in the ninth canto. That Maharaj becomes the Indra on the fourth Manu. Fifth Manu is Raivata Manu. The Indra of that Manu is Vibhu. Name Vibhu. Sixth Manu was Chakshusha Manu. And the Indra of that Manu is Manojava. That's the Indra's name. So currently we are on the Vaivashrata Manu. Our current Manu is also named as Shraddhadev. The name of the Indra, our current Indra, is Purandara. I think in the song of our Gaura Arati, there is a mention named the Purandara, is it? So there is the name of our current Indra is Purandara. The next Manu comes in after this, our current Manu, is the Savarni Manu. The Bali Maharaj will become a Indra of next Manvantara. The ninth Manu is the Daksha Savarni. The Indra is Avadhut. Adbhut, sorry. And the tenth Manu is a Brahma Savarni. The Indra is named as Santi. The 11th Manu is Dharva Savarni. The Indra would be Visha. 12th Manu would be Rudraputra Savarni. The Indra would be named as Ritudhama. Is the Indra of that. And the 13th Manu is Ruchi or Deva Savarni. And there will be a Indra will be Deva Devaspati. Is the Indra of that 13th Manu. The 14th and the final Manu would be a Bhoma or Indra Savarni. The Indra would be named Suchi. So this is the, it's in the ninth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. I think it's all the future Manu and the current Manu are described. That's in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Any other questions? Yeah, Srimad Bhagavatam is the, as Amarendra Prabhu was mentioning, if all the 10 items that are mentioned in Srimad Bhagavatam, starting from Sarga, Visarga, Manvantara, Isanukatha, all that 10 subject matter describes, any Purana that describes the 10 subject matter, that is called Mahapurana. Most of the other Puranas, there are 18 Puranas, most of the Puranas would go up to 6 or 7 description. But the Bhagavatam goes up to all complete 10 subject matters of. So this is called Mahapurana. This is everything is in there, complete. Yes. Okay. So we'll end here. Sri Kantra Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Tai Go Premanande.